Welcome. Can you hear me? To Beis Yaakov of Baltimore's Evening of Connection and Inspiration. My name is Devorah Einstetter. My maiden name is Neuberger. I'm from the class of 1997. Before we start, I was asked to tell everyone that if you did not get a chance to fill in your contact information, it was crowded at the tables, please do so when the program is finished. And your contact information also serves as a raffle for a door prize, which is this book right here by Rabbi Hexler. So please make sure to do that. Also, anyone who would like, there are raffles. It's $5 a raffle or six for $25. Again, that can be purchased at the end over there, and the raffles are on the other side table, on the other side of the room. It is so heartwarming to see so many women of every age bracket who are united by our Kesher to Beis Yaakov. Whether you graduated before I was born, you know, I was thinking about what to say in advance, and I didn't really know who I'd see, and it's really true. There are so many people here who graduated before I was born, or you walked the hallways of Beis Yaakov with me, or you entered school after I graduated. You and I, all of us here tonight, share a common gift that is common to all of us, but actually rare in the world at large. And that is the gift of the wholesome chinuch of Beis Yaakov of Baltimore. Rashi, toward the end of Sefer Dvarim, says, Ein Adam Omed al Sof Daito Shal Rabo V'Chachmas Mishnaso Ad Arba'im Shana. A person doesn't truly appreciate his teacher until he has the perspective of the passage of 40 years. Well, most of us in this room did not yet hit the 40-year mark, but even so, as the years pass, the years since we left Beis Yaakov, and we experience life, we appreciate more and more the chinuch that we receive. I'm sure that I speak for everyone when I say that I am so grateful and excited to have a Beis Yaakov of Baltimore event right here in Lakewood. And I want to thank the people who made this happen. Behind the scenes is Rabbi Gross in Baltimore, the Director of Development at Beis Yaakov. The Alumni Association chairs, Yocheved Goldstein Leader and Carol Malka Friedman Simpson, worked tirelessly not only behind the scenes in Baltimore, but actually slept in to be here with us tonight. Thank you to all the members of the Lakewood Alumni Committee and to the event chairs, Chameli, Heinemann, Kushner, Fagi Kronglass Spitz, and Shira Kronglass Jacobson. And of course, our heartfelt hakaras hatov to our esteemed speakers who came in tonight from Baltimore to address us. I would like to extend a special welcome to Mrs. Rhoda Steinberg-Pollack and her daughter, Mrs. Miriam Blumenkranz. The Steinberg family, wait, listen to this, is the first to have a fourth generation student in Beis Yaakov with Aliza Abrams, daughter of Chani Weiss Abrams in 10th grade. Though I personally was not a student of Rabbi Steinberg, Alav HaShalom, he was nifter when I was in 6th grade, it was just 1 year before I entered the high school. Still, the high school that I attended bore the marks of his legendary leadership. Rabbi Steinberg's successor, Rabbi Zweig, has been the high school principal since 1991, giving direction and inspiration to our diverse student body. I have particularly fond memories of Rabbi Zweig's classes that were full of depth or humor, or both. The special assemblies before the Yom Tovim and before the summer breaks were always so meaningful and memorable. It is an honor for me to call upon my principal, Rabbi Zweig, to give Divrei Bracha.
will work. Okay.
Before I start, I just want to add, I just want to mention in passing that there is somewhat of a pall, a shadow over this get-together with the recent patira of Mrs. Rivki Pongles Weiss-Bort. And obviously her patira was a tremendous, a profound loss for her family, for the Lakewood community to which she and her family have contributed so much. She had a lev tov. She was known for her pure goodness. The home was a home where there was an exalted Torah life. And it's a great loss for her family, for the Beis Yaakov family. Not, can say the two in the same breath. We hope that she will be a Melitza Yosher for her family, for all of us. We hope that Ribbono Shel'olam will give her family the kayach, the strength to deal with this challenge, and that somehow they should ultimately have a nechama. I also want to add my own welcome to Mrs. Steinberg-Pollock, besides the fact that we have become mechutanim of sorts. When we came to Baltimore, she and Rabbi Steinberg embraced us. They were mentors for us. Steinberg, Rabbi Steinberg himself was someone who I had tremendous admiration and affection for. And they did so much to make it possible for us to make the transition to Baltimore and my responsibilities at Beis Yaakov. So a special welcome, and it's really a tremendous zechus to see you here tonight. I'm a little bit overwhelmed because this is a big group. I know my wife heard from Mrs. Wolf over the phone today that she herself felt overwhelmed, and she's always pretty cool, so if she could feel overwhelmed, I could feel overwhelmed. I would say that it is a tremendous, tremendous privilege for me to be here, just as it's a tremendous privilege for the gift of Matana that Ribbono Shel'olam gave me, that I've been doing this for 30 years already, Bli Ayin Hara. And it's very exciting to be here. I do apologize to you in advance. I would love to stay afterwards. And I met some people on the way in. I would love to see everybody individually. But I have a real problem with driving at night. The road puts me to sleep. I'm not a night person. My wife ends up doing all the driving. I usually say to her, let me start. And when I get sleepy, you'll take over. She said, fine. She says, fine. And that's usually at county line. So we are going to be leaving right after I speak. My spirit is with you, and I hope that the evening is very, very successful. To speak about Beis Yaakov and connect it to what this evening is about, which is really a zecher for Gveret Steinhardt, Lash Shalom, we know that everyone here feels a very, very special feeling. It is rare, if not unique, the feeling of belonging, the ruach of belonging that people feel, the attachment to Beis Yaakov of Baltimore. Why this is so can be explained in a lot of different ways. It was crystallized to me this summer through one comment, which in a pithy way said so much. I was speaking with my very dear chaver, Rabbi Yoel Jacobowitz, whose daughter is here, and we were talking about the fact that as a community grows, it's natural that new schools come up and start also. Schools to the right, schools to the left, schools this way, schools that way. And he told me that he was speaking with one of the rabbanim of our community, one of the chash rabbanim, whose name is a household word in America and a very, very beloved to so many people. And that when Dr. Jacobowitz said something to the effect, well, if we wouldn't have this group, then maybe it would be easier for us to concentrate on our agenda and what we want to do. And the Rav, with total innocence and tamimus and chachmas, said to him, as he reported to me, but that's our mission. That's our mission. And I had forgotten. I remember how I had heard when I came how upset Rabbi Steinberg, Zichrono Lebracha, was when a pediatrician took his daughter out and sent her to Yeshiva of Washington because he thought she would get a better general studies education there. Remember how upset he was when another school started. He felt that he had such an Avas Yisrael. And to him, Beis Yaakov of Baltimore is the school of Baltimore, created by the community of Baltimore, for the community of Baltimore. Beis Yaakov is Baltimore. I remember hearing a few years ago something that was quoted to me from one of our graduates. I'm not saying everyone has to feel the same way as that the sentiment that this person expressed. But she said she looked back many, many years at her time in Beis Yaakov when things were even more diverse than they are now. And she said, I don't feel that I am who I am today in spite of the people with whom I was in class. I feel like I am today because of all the different people that I was in class with. Beis Yaakov of Baltimore is Baltimore, is Baltimore. It's Klal Yisrael. I've jokingly said in school many times, except people don't realize that I really believe it, that Amir Hashem, when Mashiach comes, he will come to Baltimore first. I know he's going to spend much more time in Lakewood. But he's going to stop in Baltimore first because of that feeling of Klal and Klaliistic, and we are the community. We are the Tzibur. And we're happy to be the Tzibur. You want to learn Torah? Come to our school. You are welcome here, and this is your home. And everyone here feels that way. Rav Moshe Eisman should be well, Shlita. He introduced me to a sentence from a poem by Robert Frost, the poet. I don't remember the connection to the Hashgafa point that he was making, but I looked it up last night because I held on to that book. Always I go back to it for this one line. He said, home is the place where, if someone were to ask you, write down, how do you define, what is home? So he said something that's a little bit of a chiddush, but it's such a wonderful derher, such a beautiful insight, which in Lakewood is derher. He said, huh, I have five kids here, I have all the sprach, Baruch Hashem, okay. I chop everything, okay. He said, home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. And I think that sort of defines the way we feel about our school. A short of our Torah to connect to what I was just saying and to what we're here about tonight, the primary reason we're here tonight. And it was very, very invigorating to hear in a few minutes before we sat down, a couple of people came over and told me things about the parsha that they remembered. I never knew anybody was really listening. So Rav Kostelitz posed this question to me a number of years ago. We were together at some social event, some simcha. He said, what's the pshat? I don't know if this is his own pshat or he got it from somewhere. He says, what's the pshat of Avraham Avinu turned over the entire world? We don't see a record of Noach being makariv or having hashpah on a single person. She's not Avraham Avinu. So he's makariv 50 people, 100 people, 20 people. No one. How could it be? The answer is in a Rashi, because the pasuk says that Noach came into the teva mipnei mei hamabul. So Rashi says, what do you mean mipnei mei hamabul? Go into the teva, because Hashem told him, go into the teva. Rashi says, "Af Noach miktane yamuna hoyo, maimin ve'enoi maimin sheyavoi hamabul." He himself was miktane yamuna, and the bottom line is, you can't convince anyone of anything unless you first convince yourself, which is a point that my Rosh Hashiva made to me, Rav Levi Kopenya Zichron Lebracha, when we were in 12th grade, going in 11th grade in the Commons in Borough Park, and he was trying to convince a group of us to go up to Woodridge for 12th grade. It was a Kamenitz branch there then. The Rebbe would be Rav Meir Stern, legendary Rav Meir Stern, at that point. And I said to him, Rebbe, there's no way in the world I'm going to convince my mother. He said, first let's talk about convincing you. If you're not convinced, you can't convince anybody. And he made that point to me then. There's an unbelievable quote from, it happens to be from a Meshumid, but evidently a great intellectual and a very famous person. Nebuch, his name was Heinrich Heine. He was walking with a young friend, and they passed some church. So the friend said to him, Mr. Heine, I have a question for you. There are gorgeous cathedrals that we see that were built in the ancient world. Today people build churches. How come today no one is building cathedrals? So Heinrich Heine said to him, the people of the ancient world had convictions. We have opinions. It takes more than an opinion to build a cathedral. You have to have a conviction to be able to build a cathedral. It has to be something that means enough to you. So actually, in the parish also, it occurred to me during laning a number of years ago, and my son told me that this is actually, one of the Mefarshim says this, it says also in Parshas Noach, that when leading up to Migdal Bavel, it says, Misham Yotza Ashur. Ashur left that area where they were starting to ruminate about this. Misham Yotza Ashur. And it says, and he built Ninveh and some other places. So Rashi said, what does it mean, Misham Yotza Ashur? He said, I smell what's going on here. I know what Nimrod is up to rebel against Hashem. And I don't want to have any part of it. And he left and he built Ninveh. It struck me during laning a number of years ago, now we solve one of the great mysteries of Tanakh. How come Ninveh, the prophet comes, this Jewish prophet comes, the man with the long beard comes down from the mountain and he says, repent. And the greatest tshuva in history that happened then, maybe it didn't last long enough. They weren't even yidden. How could there be such a tshuva? The answer is because the Elta Zeder was someone like Ashur. And he had conviction. He believed in it so much that you don't do the wrong thing that it went down through the doros. So that's what conviction is about. So I want to suggest and just sort of pull together that what we were talking about, Beis Yaakov of Baltimore, that's the klal. And there are pratim. And those pratim, as part of the klal, are really, that's our Mesorah. We have a Mesorah. And this Mesorah is something that leaving Beis Yaakov, it sort of was in the realm of convictions to us. It wasn't just opinions about things. It was deeply embedded in the soul of Beis Yaakov and still is, Bli Ayin Hara. And it's a Mesorah, and it's special, and it's unique. And it's something that over time, it could fade away. And we could use tonight as an opportunity sort of to circle the wagons, chizuk, revive that ruach and what we learned from Beis Yaakov of Baltimore that's special. Not that it's better than other places, but there's a Mesorah there that is special and that has its unique characteristics. And I'm just about done. I just want to run through a short list, which are some of the qualities and some of the characteristics of that chinuch, of which Gveret Steinhardt, alas shalom, very much was part of that and reflected that, and I'll leave the further description to the people who are speaking after me, but to sort of paint the picture a little bit, this is not an exhaustive list. Derech Eretz. These are things that Mrs. Steinhardt personified, and that personified things that exemplified qualities that our school said. These are really very, very important. Starting with Derech Eretz, how you look, how you speak, how you act. Gerhard Steinhardt was a paragon of these qualities. Being ehrlich, there's a fancy word in English, disingenuous, which our counterpart to that is echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. No such thing as being echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. You don't take advantage of other people when they don't get something that you do. You never mislead people. That was a part of our fabric. That was a part of our core of what Beis Yaakov was, things that I learned from Rabbi Steinberg. Friendliness. It's known that the reason we ended up being able to get the MTA buses was because Rabbi Diskin was so friendly and fine and respectful with everyone, no matter who the person was. And he won over so many friends within the government all over, not as a maneuver, not as a strategy, but just because that's the way he was. Friendliness to other people. Achrayus. Gert Steinhardt would never accept anything that was half-baked. You know how she felt about anything that was shabby. In any way, I so well remember, we had a very, very chush of a guest from Israel a few years ago, and he gave a very beautiful drasha. And then afterwards he said, now I want to give you a bracha. And he started saying, Yivarechacha. And I remember everybody was sitting there so taken and so inspired. He's giving me a bracha. They put their heads down. And afterwards, Gveret Steinhardt said, he is a Kohen. Like, what's he doing giving a bracha? Like, she had no patience for anything that wasn't what it's supposed to be, and very real and very genuine. And otherwise, you know, don't give me anything that's just superficial. I'm not saying he did something wrong, but that was her reaction to it. Being very frum, but still being totally normal and still being able to relate to other people. There's a famous story about, I'm almost done, there's a famous story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He greeted someone, and the person barely greeted him back. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said to him, "You don't greet a human being? I greeted you, you don't greet me?" So the person said, "I'm sorry, what can I do? It's Elul, I'm very, very fartracht, and I'm trying to be an El spirit." So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, "Because you have Elul, why should I suffer?" So in our school, the idea that no matter who you are, and you can go to the highest madrigas, and you should try to go to the highest madrigas, but you can still relate to other people where they are and how they are. And finally, just on my short list, which again, I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, and I'm not saying that other schools don't give this over, and I'm not saying we're the only ones. I'm saying these are some of the highlights of our chinuch, and Baruch Hashem, there are many, many others. But another thing we learned from Gerrit Steinhardt is how she appreciated knowledge. Knowledge in general. Knowledge is power. Knowledge of anything in the world. It's a great big wide world that Rabbi Shalom gave us. Particularly Torah knowledge. How different it is when you could go to Rosh Hashanah davening and besides the aid of the interlinear matzah, which is perfectly fine, imagine when they're piyutim and you know the words because you're familiar with a lot of words in the Hebrew language. You know them. You're familiar with them. And it makes your davening that much richer. When my daughters got married, before they got married, I sat each of them down and I said, "Listen, you're not necessarily going to be living in Baltimore. And you're going to, during the course of your life, there are going to be a lot of questions and a lot of hashkafa issues and a lot of challenges. And you may find that your instinct makes you tend to look at things one way. And it's possible that the people around you will say it's wrong. They'll tell you a different way, your husband, others." I said, "You're going to have to judge each question and have a very, very balanced approach. But you should know and remember that if your reflex is sending you in a certain direction, it's very possible that that is not just some thought that came into your mind, but that it's rooted and grounded in the chinuch that you got. And maybe it is different, and maybe you have sensitivities that might be those some others may not have in the same way. And sometimes trust your gut and be proud of it and consider that it might actually be right before you make a final decision." That's what conviction is about. That's what our Masorah is about. It's very special. It's very wonderful to have an occasion. I too want to add my thanks to all the organizers for us to have an occasion to be able to remember together with the friendship, to remember who we are. The zechus that we have had such a chinuch, the zechus, those of us who had a shaychus with Gerrit Steinhardt, all the great, great lessons we learned from her, together with the entertainment, together with the tremendous knowledge, and may our evening tonight be a zechus for her, for neshama, and may she be a melitza yosher, and may we continue to steig along the ways that our wonderful Mosad taught us. Thank you very much. Good night.